Hello and welcome. You're listening to Stay You Boo with me, Meg.
And me, Sam. The podcast where we have a coffee and unashamedly discuss whatever comes to mind.
From taboo topics to navigating life as a millennial.
Imagine a coffee date.
Or brunch.
With your bestie, but with a whole load of tech involved.
So without further ado, let's get into it. So today we're talking about diet culture, but before we get into it, we've got a little new segment we want to try out. For now, we're calling it Combustion Chronicles. I think it's got a ring to it. And we're going to discuss whether we want to keep something in our lives because it sparks joy, or whether we're going to throw it into the flames to burn. And today's point of discussion is celery.
Yeah.
I feel like it's quite linked to diet culture. Some people say that it's a zero calorie food, which doesn't exist, can we just say?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people like celery juice and strange concoctions like that. So, Sammy, your opinion on celery juice? Or celery even?
I think it's vile.
What?
Burn it forever.
No!
All of it, just burn it.
But it's so crunchy and good.
It tastes like poison.
No, it doesn't. It's like, it doesn't really have a taste. It's just like water. It's so hydrating.
No, it does not taste like water.
No.
I'm sorry. No, celery is disgusting. It's so like, it's got like a really weird aftertaste as well. I don't understand how people can eat it.
Oh, I literally had celery earlier today, and you can put like peanut butter or hummus on it. It's delicious. No.
It just ruins peanut butter and hummus.
No. And you can chop it up and put it in a stew or a chili.
See, no. Like, if I put celery in my, like, cooked food, I have to cut it into the smallest pieces so that it basically doesn't exist.
Yeah, but can you not acknowledge that it's a delicious crudité?
No. Not in the slightest. I'm sorry. I'm so anti-celery. No. It's being thrown into the fire.
No, why did we choose this as the first point? Because I really want to keep it. I will not have celery put in the fire. My dad used to be what me and my dad bonded over. We were the only two in the house that enjoyed it. And now you're taking it away from me. I really don't want to put it in the fire.
It's going in the fire.
If you can give me three good reasons.
I think...
We're keeping it. We're keeping celery.
I'm sorry. I can give you three good reasons, but they're just not reasons you'll agree with. Like, it just tastes like crap. Like, why would you want to keep it?
Because it's crunchy and delicious and good for your skin.
There are many things that are crunchy and delicious and good for your skin. Eat cucumber.
Yeah, but that's more watery.
What's wrong with water? One of your points was that celery just tastes like water, so you can't even use that as an excuse. Look, you've gone back on your argument.
Are we talking about cucumber or celery here?
Look, Meg, I'm throwing it at the fire. You don't have a say.
I'm just going to move on from this because I've actually become very aggravated. I'm not even sure if I want to do the rest of the episode with a celery hater like Sammy. So let's get this over and done with. Today, we're talking about diet culture. We're going to have a bit of a discussion about fad diets, why they don't actually work, the science behind that, and a little bit about how diet culture actually and everything surrounding it is a business. It's actually sort of all just done to make money in a way.
So, Meg, I think we should clarify what we mean by a diet.
Yes, of course. That's a good idea. A diet, it's quite a broad definition. It can be to do with the kind of foods that a person eats or a special group of foods that a person has to eat. But in this case, we're referring to it in the terms of a form of restricting what you eat, whether that be restricting your calories, restricting a certain food group or food, and abstaining from that. in order to improve your health, is in theory improve your health, whether it actually works.
What would you say is the difference between that and, say, a religious reason or like vegetarianism, for example?
They are still diets. It's just they're not perpetuated by the diet culture and the diet industry. That's not what's fueling them, if that makes sense. So they are diets, but they don't have the same motivations behind them, I suppose you could argue. Whereas when we're talking about the diet industry and diet culture, it's when these decisions are undertaken from a point of view of weight loss.
Okay. Personally, I'm vegetarian and I have had that kind of almost accusation thrown at me in response to my beliefs against diet culture.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
It's always an argument I've never really known how to come back at, because my reasons for being vegetarian has nothing to do with my weight.
Yeah. I think that's what I would argue. I'd say, yes, it is a diet. However, my motivations behind it are nothing to do with weight, aesthetics, or even health, really, for me anyway. It is more to do with ethical reasons or something like that, or environmental reasons.
Yeah. It's an interesting one though, isn't it?
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought about it. So, yeah, what's your experience with diets and that whole industry?
So I definitely have gone on a diet. It's something that I remember when I was a kid, I'd want to go on diets.
And really?
It's just such a depressing thought that I was so, like, at such a young age, I was already thinking about those things and, like, worried about my body and looking for ways to change it. And I think that just outlines, like, a really big problem with our society.
Yeah.
But in terms of just diet culture, I now hate the whole concept of it. And I want to be very clear that I am not against losing weight.
No.
If it's for the right reasons. But I am against the billion-pound industry that benefits from putting these ideas of what a body should look like.
Yeah, exactly.
To the general society.
Yeah. So, like, I found out that the UK diet industry is worth £2 billion a year. And also, I should just say, I completely agree with Sammy about the fact that I'm not anti-weight loss. It is that I'm anti-diet. And also, we are both very much coming from a point of thin privilege. We, throughout this episode, I just want to highlight that whatever we do say, we are coming from that point. So what we say won't be relatable for everyone. And our experiences are not the same as those living in a fat body. But that doesn't mean I'm any less anti-diet. Like you said, it's worth billions. And why? What are we paying for at the end of the day? That's what I always think.
Exactly. I mean, there is a lot of evidence to suggest that diets do not work. And you, by like paying for all these juice cleanse subscriptions or, I don't know, like all these powders or supplements that don't do anything, that make you believe that they're doing something.
Yeah.
And then getting you to like restrict what you're eating. And it just creates a problem that doesn't solve anything either.
Yeah.
Like you will, in most cases, just regain the weight you've lost.
Yeah, that's the case in 95% of people. And it's not even just regaining the weight. A lot of the time people regain more weight and then they will decide to lose that weight again. Something that's referred to as yo-yo dieting. You've probably heard of it.
Yeah, like you end up putting on more weight and then you revert back to the diet and or a different diet maybe, hoping that it will have a positive effect or you can achieve what you're aiming for, but then the same thing happens again.
Yeah, exactly. And this way of this lifestyle, this way of living, it actually increases your risk of medical conditions such as heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes. It's more dangerous for your weight to yo-yo diet than it is to be overweight. And then if you're looking at just restriction, that slows your metabolic rate. It decreases your energy levels. It can lead to hormonal imbalances, which will affect your menstrual health if you're a woman. It can result in osteoporosis, which is bone thinning, mood swings, and eventually like weight gain as well, because it can increase certain hormones which contribute to weight gain. It's just, there's so much evidence. If you go on a juice diet, they're actually quite high in sugar, so it can be quite bad for diabetics, and they're often lacking in certain minerals and therefore are not actually a healthy choice.
Yeah.
So almost all diets, if not all, come with some detriment to an extent. And they're just not a great decision if your motivation is to become a healthier person. And they're also not a great decision if your motivation is weight loss, seeing as 95% of the time that is not sustainable. And I think as well, this industry is not even just purely directed to people who are technically overweight, according to BMI and things like that. It doesn't discriminate. It's everyone. It literally treats everybody as the same as well. So it doesn't treat people who have different health conditions and different lifestyles any differently. So somebody who's working as a cleaner in a hospital would be treated and expected to follow the same set of rules and guidance as somebody who is working behind a checkout in Asda, or somebody who has a really active job and teaches children to swim or something. It just, it's ridiculous. They expect everyone to do the same and have the same results,
which is just bizarre. Like, everybody is so different and everybody has a different base metabolic rate. Like, everyone has a different base level of exercise as well on top of that, which are two different things.
Yeah.
And it's not a one size fits all thing. Like, losing weight doesn't work the same for everybody.
No, absolutely not. And I think that's another problem with BMI that you sort of touched upon there. It's like, it doesn't work the same for everybody. People have different body compositions, different levels of fat, different bone densities, different genetics. Some people, their set point, their set healthy point is higher than others.
Yeah.
And that's, again, something that doesn't seem to be acknowledged when we are looking at statistics or creating diet plans for people and things like that. It's just completely ignored.
The whole BMI system is so incredibly flawed. The fact that there's a category called morbidly obese, like deathly fat, in other words.
Yeah.
Like, that is just beyond comprehension. Like, you've literally taken two measurements and you feel that you can say that this person is going to die because of their weight.
Yeah. And I think as well, just like you said there, they're saying almost like it's because of the weight. But what it fails to take into account is that weight is so often not the cause of these medical conditions. We often attribute it to weight. But
exactly.
It's actually not, there's like a massive tangled relationship between weight and other health comorbidities. But it's something that we don't fully understand. And quite often it's the things that may have caused the weight gain or that come along with the weight gain that are the risk factors rather than the weight itself, if that makes any sense. So there's a correlation, but it's not a causation if you're looking at it from a statistical point of view.
Yeah. It is outdated and science evolves and we don't know everything. Like it's very easy to be like, well, the doctor said this, so it must be true. But that is not the case in the slightest.
No.
And I'm not saying like, don't trust your doctors, because that is a whole other thing that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that what you hear in TV or what some statistics that are specifically chosen by the diet industry to portray to you isn't the whole story. And there's a lot more that goes into it. And it's just like people kind of latch onto these statistics out of fear, or they like to have something to point the finger at, but it just isn't as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, the research is always evolving. And so your doctor might recommend one thing, but then further research shows that's not necessarily the optimum for your condition or for your problem. And sometimes doctors can be guilty of not keeping up to date with the latest research, because there is a lot, to be fair to them. I mean, sometimes they're just old-fashioned dinosaurs, but sometimes it's difficult to keep up with it. And so what they might have thought would be the best option at some point then won't be. And in some cases, some diets are beneficial for people. So for example, if you're celiac, cutting out gluten is obviously going to be beneficial because you're literally allergic to it. Or in a very, very small number of sorts of epilepsy, and I must emphasize it's like literally two sorts that are quite rare, a ketogenic diet is actually proven to be beneficial. So there are cases where medically a diet can help somebody. I think it's the culture of dieting that I have the real issue with. This like unescapable world of diets, and it's constantly promoted like on the packaging of food or those weird web banners down the sides, like lose 3 pounds in 3 days.
Which is just ridiculous.
I think you were saying before as well about like just it's all about doing it in the quickest amount of time.
Yeah, and it is. It's just literally like it's so unsustainable. It's like, why do you need to do it in a week? Like, why can't you make it a more sustainable thing and do it over a year or a month? Or, you know, like it's losing weight isn't a negative thing necessarily. It's the fact that the industry makes you feel like you need to lose weight and in an unhealthy way.
Yes, exactly.
And like, there are so many people, like this isn't, we're not just talking about health warnings. Like we're not talking about it just in terms of that. We're talking about people that are affected by this industry on a daily basis that just shouldn't even need to think about it.
Yes.
Like people that are perfectly healthy, people that have lived their lives without any problems because of their weight. But for some reason, society and the adverts that are constantly on our screens, the influencers that are constantly promoting these weird ways of losing weight, they make people feel like they are not healthy when there is literally no other reason to think that.
Yes, I love that you've pointed that out about it, like we said before, about it targeting everyone. But where do we get these ideas from? Like you said, people who were previously fit and well, psychologically well, suddenly develop this need to lose weight, because that's what these diets are almost always aimed towards. And they put such an emphasis on your weight, which is literally a measure of what, you're the physicist, something to do with force on ground.
Yeah. It's your mass and the gravity.
And it's literally, your weight would be different if you were in space. So why does it matter so much?
Literally.
It's
And it is a joke. Yeah, it is. It's just one of those things, like, you have to laugh or you'll cry, or you could just get really, really angry at everything, which I think is the option we've chosen.
Yeah, I was about to say that's definitely what I do. But do you know what? I'm not going to stop, to be honest. As well, the diet industry, it then promotes things like cheat days, and I don't understand what I'm cheating. Am I cheating myself? Exactly. Am I cheating? Like, it just sounds absolutely ridiculous to me. And that sort of mindset, it's almost like a scarcity
sounds about right.
Okay, yeah. We'll say scarcity mindset, where it's implying there's not enough or something. And so then when there is, your body just gorges on it. And it's really unhealthy. I just think there's no cheating about it. It's about eating what your body and your mind craves. Hunger is made up of so many different things: physical hunger, emotional hunger, psychological hunger.
Absolutely.
And by going on a diet, you're overriding that. And just making it all about calories in or protein or juice. I don't even know. There are too many now to keep up with.
Well, it just takes the joy out of eating.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's such a good point.
Like, food and joy are so intrinsically linked. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, I don't really experience this, but this is probably a result of the society I've grown up in. But so many people love food. It brings them happiness. It satiates them in a way that nothing else can. Mm. And that is not a bad thing. Like, why should you feel guilty for eating what your soul desires?
Yes. I always say to people, I find it really frustrating when people are like, oh, I'm being naughty and having some chocolate, or, oh, I shouldn't have that because I don't need it. And I'm like, well, maybe your soul needs it. That's what I always say. Like, you need to feed your soul, like nourish your body and your mind. We literally have, I think it's called like a gut to brain axis, and our gut communicates with our brain. Apparently there's like a mini brain in the gut and stuff. So it's just, come on, you've got to.
That's so interesting.
I know.
I feel like that brings a whole new meaning to the whole, like, go with your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
It's so interesting. But yeah, we're more likely to listen to like some skinny Fitspo on Instagram who has been paid thousands of pounds to promote a new detox tea.
Yeah.
And just because she looks like that, we don't even know if she's drinking the tea.
That's such a good point. Yeah. Like, these people are paid to promote this product.
Yeah. And that's another issue with diet culture, is we are fed these stories and shown these before and after photos. Don't even get me started.
I was just going to say, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Because again, that's putting all the emphasis on aesthetic. I just wish it was, instead of look at how much weight I've lost, it was look how much I've gained. Look how much happiness. Look how much confidence I've gained.
Why is it always about losing?
Yes.
It's just frustrating that it's not just women, like, it just any form of losing something. Why should we be encouraged to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of the time it is focused for men more on gaining, but more and more we are seeing this shift to more of a loss sort of mindset shifting to men as well. So I do think it is important to highlight it's not just women, like you said. But it's just this strange obsession that we have with weight, despite the fact your weight changes all the time. And I don't know about you, but when I look at somebody in the street, I don't think, oh, I wonder what diet she's on, or like, look at the size of her thighs. I'm just, either I don't clock you at all, no offense, but I'm probably worried about the way I look. Or I think, oh my gosh, her hair is so cute. I love her jeans. I love his smile. I just think we put so much emphasis on something which actually you care about much more than anybody else.
Do you know, I would actually have to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I think there is a large percentage of people who, because of their own security, hang on, let me rephrase that, because of their own insecurities, they then almost like reflect that outwards and they start to pick up on people around them as also having the same things that they consider a problem in themselves.
Yeah.
So if someone is in that mindset where they feel like they're not worthy unless they lose weight, which the diet industry 100% encourages, then they start to look at other people and think, well, they're not worthy either.
Yeah. No, that's true, actually. I think you're right. There are a lot of people who are imbeciles as well and will make rude comments and judgmental comments. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that is partly fed by the whole of like our communities and our societies, just our attitude towards things like weight. And mm-hmm. I listened to a few really good podcasts actually on fat phobia. I'll link them in the show notes because it's a real issue, something that we might talk about a little bit further in a later episode, but just to do with the stigma that people living in fat bodies are facing and how one of them had some really moving and quite horrible stories from people who had experienced really horrible abuse purely based on their size. Mm-hmm. And I think you are right. It is something which other people do notice, but that doesn't mean that it's important.
No, I agree. 100%. I think it's a fault in society that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we just focus so much on it and then come up with all these excuses about why it's supposedly important. Like, oh yeah, but if you're fat, you're not very healthy.
But that is such a wild assumption to make. Like, you know nothing about that person.
Exactly.
So then just say you've are completely, let's face it, on like the majority of people that say things like that are not medically trained.
Mm.
They have no idea what this person's medical history is. They have no idea what any of their history is. Maybe have they always been that size? Have they lost weight before? Have they gained weight before? Like, you have no idea about what that person's been through to then start making assumptions about their health just because you've seen them in this one point of their life.
Yes, that's so true. And again, like we said, it's forgetting that health encompasses so much. And also our attitude towards health is so, it's just not inclusive at all. Every diet and exercise plan is tailored towards already skinny white women or already muscular white men,
mm-hmm.
Who supposedly have endless amounts of free time and mm-hmm. so much money to buy healthy foods. It's
mm-hmm.
I just get so angry. The whole diet culture, it doesn't make sense. It's so geared towards a minority of people. And I don't even think that minority really benefit from it, to be honest.
No.
Health looks different on everyone.
Yeah, and it's so intrinsic to our lives. Like, it's so horribly meshed up with how we think about everything.
Mm.
And like, no matter where you are or what you're looking at, like in films, in TV shows, in like articles in the newspaper or a journal or on your social media sites. Like, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You cannot escape it.
I completely agree.
And like, even like when you talk to your friends, like I have never gone through a whole session with my friends without something to do with dieting coming up.
Oh, really? You see, I'm very, very lucky. I think my friendship group are very aware of how anti-diet I am, and they really respect that. And I think they're on quite a similar page. So I'm quite lucky in terms of within like my closest friendship groups, it doesn't tend to come up so much, but it tends to be when I'm on the wards or something like that somebody will say, oh, I can't eat that because, or, oh, I've started this new diet. And it's more in those spaces that I feel, or on social media, that I feel confronted with it rather than in my closer friendship circles. And I do know that that is that's quite unique, to be honest, because it, like you said, it is so all encompassing and does seem to overlay a lot.
Yeah. I want to rephrase that. It's not that I've never done. I think maybe I've been a bit overdramatic in that phrasing.
Never. You overdramatic?
But it definitely comes up a lot more than I'd like. And because I think I am quite sensitive to it, I think it's stupid that anybody should feel like they have to lose weight. For any other reason than their own personal thoughts, and like whether it suits them specifically. But I don't like to be unsupportive, and I just find it a very tricky situation to politely deal with. But like you, I'm very anti-diet, but there are some of my friends are as well, but not all of them. And in the situations where it does come up, I don't want to like completely neglect their feelings and their experiences. Because as you said, I've come from thin privilege, and it's just, I can't possibly imagine that their life has been the same as mine and their thoughts on it has been the same as mine. And obviously I've thought about this a lot, and I catch myself saying really stupid things to do with diet culture.
Oh, same. That
I
then think,
I shouldn't have said that. That was stupid. Why am I conforming to this society?
Yeah. Even little things that I think we can all be very guilty of saying, like, oh, I'll have this, but it's okay because I won't have something else later. Or, oh, it's fine because I did some exercise this morning. No, it's always fine, regardless of your activity. Or it could be, I'll scrimp a little bit on butter just to save some calories. And the thought of, even the concept of saving calories is a little bit weird, but here we are. I think we've rambled on for long enough about diet culture. Maybe not long enough, because I could probably speak for another 3 hours on it.
It's a very big topic.
Yeah, but you're probably all a bit tired of hearing our voices for now. So, Sammy, let's go with three pieces of advice that you would give to somebody who was feeling a bit overwhelmed by diet culture and wanting to move away from it.
Okay. I would say do some research and educate yourself in the diet culture and diet industry actually is, and the detrimental effects it's had on society and the way that we think about ourselves.
Yeah.
Number two, I would say talk to someone you trust, because chances are they will be incredibly supportive. And if they're not, they can get in the bin.
Yes, right in there. Come on, put the lid on.
And support is so important when you're making changes like these. To change the way you think it's not an easy thing to do. And it is, as we said, like it's very ingrained in the way we think. So yeah, I would say to talk to someone you trust and get that support system. And think about, I guess my third one would be, think about why you ever bought into it in the first place.
Yes.
And a lot of the time you'll have your answers for why to get out of it.
Yes, absolutely. I think they're great.
What about you, Meg? Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I guess. So I would say you need to cleanse your Instagram feed or whatever social media you might be using. Get rid of weight loss accounts or any influencers who gear their content towards weight loss, because if you're trying to move away from it, they might be a great influencer, but that's not what you need at this point if you're trying to move away from it. You can follow other fitness or wellness influencers who are anti-diet. So that would be my first bit of advice. My second bit of advice would be similar to you, Sammy, in terms of not just finding one person to support you, but finding a safe group almost of people who have a similar belief system to you, whether they...
I can already see where this is going, Meg.
Oh no, I'm not going to say... Okay, I'm going to say it now because you've said it. Team Knobs. I honestly, I need to be an ambassador for them. I always promote them.
Be.
I'm going to link them in the show notes. Team Knobs, a beautiful community of beautiful people, very much anti-diet, not anti-weight loss in all cases, if that is your goal. But yeah, I would just say... And have those conversations in your friendship group. Even if people don't agree with you, just say, look, this isn't something that I find helpful to discuss. I find it unhelpful when you make comments like X, Y, and Z. I think just having those open discussions. I definitely support Sammy's point with the research. But my third point, if she hadn't made that point, that would be my third. But in this case, my third point is to... question your motivation and just think, what is it that I want? What is it that I value? Do I value weight loss, or do I value happiness, socializing with friends? Do I value my family? And try and focus your goals and your actions around those rather than around weight loss. Thanks. I thought of it myself.
Yeah, think about ways that you can change rather than cut.
Yes, exactly. So adding things.
Focus on.
Yeah. Adding things rather than taking away things. So
yes, love that.
We should all be anti-diet, but I know it's not that easy, but we can work towards it. We can work towards it.
So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed our ramble. If you could like, comment, subscribe, share. Have I missed anything?
And leave us a review.
Review. Please review. And let us know your experiences with diet culture, your opinions on it. If you disagree with us at any point, literally just jump into our DMs because we love to hear it.
And let us know what you think of celery.
Oh, God. We never really came to a conclusion on that, but never mind. Some things are just better left unsaid. So on that note, stay easy
and we'll speak to you next time.